45 days away from the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, three NDC MPs introduce private members' bill to repeal a section of LI 2462 that allows mining in forest reserves as they take on government's failure to repeal the LI despite promises to do so.
In the, you know, urgent steps of promoting a private members' bill, to reflect the sentiments of many Ghanaians.
Also tonight, the New Patriotic Party accuses the National Democratic Congress of deliberately acting to disrupt government business as the party alleges it has uncovered a secret document by the opposition to capture power by every means.
Chapter 2 of the secret document provides strategies on how the NDC minority should leverage parliamentary power to disrupt government business.
We have details as a party takes on Speaker Alban Bagbin for what they say is his attempt to aid the minority to torpedo the majority in Parliament.
Mr. Speaker has crossed the be careful line. In other words, Mr. Speaker is beyond redemption as a statesman who ought to help glue Parliament together and see to government business to further the lots of Ghanaians.
We have more as a former Supreme Court judge weighs in on the parliamentary debate over the four vacant seats, asserting that the MPs in question have effectively crossed carpet.
It is incongruous to say that when a party, a member, decides to run independently for parliament, he has not yet crossed carpet.
And also tonight, Reporters Without Borders weighs in on attack on multimedia Erastus Asare Donkor and his team for filming the destruction of large tracts of the Asinenyo Forest Reserve by illegal miners. I have details of what they were able to capture.
And in business, Springfield to start appraisal drilling of Afina well expected to add 50,000 barrels of oil a day to Ghana's production capacity.
And it's was Ghana is one win away from a return to the under-20 AFCON following dominant group stage performance by the Black Satellite in the ongoing WAFB tournament.
And tonight on the ongoing quarterfinal stage of the National Science and Maths Quiz, KETA SHTS takes off to a good start in the quarterfinal competition against Achimota School and Impriaso SHS. I have all the details of that and more here on Newsnight. You want to stay for details. I bring you details of that and more here on Newsnight. After this short break, I am MFA Apau. Please do want to send us your thoughts, your comments via WhatsApp. It's 055-111-997. We're live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. We're on myjawline.com. Also on Love 99.5 FM and affiliates across the country. Please do stay with us. We're back after the break. Many thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM. Tonight, three NDC MPs are seeking to introduce a private member's bill to repeal Section 3.2 of the LI 2462, which allows mining in forest reserves. President Akufo-Addo promised organized labor that that instrument will be revoked as soon as Parliament reconvened. But after a whole week of sitting, the revocation was not done, actually did not happen until Parliament was suspended indefinitely due to that controversy. The three NDC MPs, Alhassan Suhini, Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, and Francis Xavier Susu, have since written to the Speaker of Parliament and to kickstart the process. Let me bring in Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante to give us all the details. He joins me via Zoom. So Kweku, has this proposed bill been sent to the Speaker? Let's talk about the rendition.
Well, sort of the regulation in Parliament in terms of how exactly a private member's bill will be introduced to the floor. They have sent this to the Speaker's office through the clerk to Parliament. And it says, Alhassan Suhini, Honourable Member for North Tongues, Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, and then MP for Susu, MP for Madina, Francis Xavier Susu, introduction of a private member's bill to repeal Section 3.2 of the Environmental Protection, which grants the President the authority to issue mining leases for exploration in forest reserves. We wish to request the Legislative Drafting Office to draft a subsequent submission to the Speaker a bill to repeal Section 3.2 of the EPA, Environmental Protection, Mining and Forest Reserve Regulation, which grants the President the authority to issue mining leases for exploration in forest reserves in Ghana. Please find attached our proposal for the said bill. And so these three MPs They continue to add the proposal, their memorandum, the key issues for which reason they believe this must be done. It's a very short rendition, and this is something, if it comes to the floor of parliament, can be done in hours, literally, because it is just one section, and it says an act to repeal Section 3.2 of the Environmental Protection, into bracket Mining in Forest Reserves Regulation 2022, LI 2462, which grants the president the authority to issue mining leases. And if it's passed, the process will follow. And Section 3.2 repealed. And the two, as relevant, it says the president may in writing grant approval to a mining company to undertake mining activity in a globally biodiversity area in the national interest. So this is what they are seeking, to remove Section 3.2. And if invariably this is passed, Section 3.2 will cease to be part of LI 2462 MFR.
Well, Bakweku, just before I let you off, though, we'll be hearing from these private members or the MPs in question. But when Parliament resumed, there was the government business that was read out, at least to the Parliamentary Affairs Press Corps. We were told that this was going to feature heavily. In fact, there was a promise as part of the organized labor calling of their strike. What really happened?
So on Tuesday last week, when the House reconvened, the majority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Makin, together with his colleague, were expected to address a press conference. At the time, Dr. Atufosin did not attend. But I asked specifically to the majority leader what exactly was happening, because he had listed a number of programs that was coming to Parliament. It did not feature. So I asked the majority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Makin, who told me that this is something that they've also heard. It hasn't come to Parliament yet. If it does come, they'll be prioritizing it, and it's something they'll be working on. In fact, at the time, he shared his academic opinion to the effect that an LI to be revoked, does it need to come to Parliament and all that? He asked these questions publicly, but said that if it did come to Parliament, they'll find a way to deal with it. So that is what he said. And then the next day and two, we actually cited a letter from the Attorney General, Godfrey Yeboah-Dammi, to the clerk to Parliament, about this same LI, and saying that government is ready to put it before the House for it to be revoked. But as we speak, up until Tuesday, when the Speaker of Parliament adjourned the House indefinitely, that LI had not come to the floor. And once a business had not come to the has not come to the floor, either been laid or anything of the sort, that business is not considered to be part of the business that the House is going to consider, at least for the next foreseeable future. So when it comes to that specific promise that has been made by the President and the Lands Minister as regards to revoking LI 2462, it has not seen the light of day, in terms of it coming to the floor of Parliament. We've been asking questions. All we have been told is that when it does come, it will be prioritized.
We're grateful. That's a Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwikwa Santi there giving us updates on this. At least we can hear from one out of the three MPs who actually filed this private member's bill to repeal the LI 2462, a portion of it that allows mining in forest reserves. Alhassan S. Suhini, and he's also the ranking member of on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee. He explains that they are motivated to act because of government's failure.
This government has the penchant to use public relations as a solution to many of the problems that we face. They make declarations that they demonstrate no commitment toward. In our view, if action is not taken, this declaration that they have made will also just remain as such, a declaration backed with no commitment whatsoever. And that is why we are taking the, you know, urgent steps of promoting a private member's bill to reflect the sentiments of many Ghanaians. If you consider the fact that this government in the last 8 years has issued over 1,600 licenses to people, given the fact that they came to meet only 57 licenses that were issued to small-scale miners from 1996, we are worried that if we do not do anything quickly about this law, the government and the president with this authority may just give out all our forest land for mining purposes.
Well, Alhassan Suhini also insists that government is only paying lip service to the fight against Galamse and all the promises made to Ghanaians and organized labor in particular were not genuine.
Well, the government approach has always been a charade. I do not blame organized labor I am only surprised that they still, in the face of overwhelming disappointments, chose to give government the benefit of the doubt on this matter. They have always engaged in a charade when it comes to this very important fight against illegal mining. They have never shown any commitment whatsoever. Remember how this so-called fight even began in the first place in 2017. It was as a result of the media coalition raising concerns and highlighting the need for the government to do something about it. And so a new government, very opportunistic, decided to ride on the bandwagon and did so without any commitment whatsoever to really stem in the tide. And the evidence in the days after the president's declaration to put his presidency on the line on the matter can bear me out. The fact that, you know, excavators got missing after they were, you know, supposedly seized from their owners, and up till today we do not know how those excavators vanished. From day one, they have never really been committed to any fight against illegal mining. It has always been a charade to deceive the people and to create a semblance of a fight while benefiting from the whole enterprise.
That's Alhassan Suhini. There is also the ranking member on the Lands and Natural Resources Committee in Parliament. They've, together with two others, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa and Francis Xavier Sisu, they filed a private member's bill to repeal the portions of the LI-2642 that allows mining in forest reserves. Now, tonight, the New Patriotic Party is accusing the opposition NDC of acting to disrupt government business in Parliament. This comes in the wake of recent happenings in Parliament where Speaker Alban Bagbin declared four seats vacant, giving the NDC a temporary minority on the floor while addressing a press conference at the NPP party headquarters today. Director of Communications for the NPP, Richard Ahiagba, first alleges that they have uncovered a secret document put together by the opposition NDC to capture power through the legislature.
Chapter 2 of the secret document provides strategies on how the NDC minority should leverage parliamentary power to disrupt government business. Pages 7 and 8, under the subheading Maximizing Parliamentary Control of the Legislature, provides the context for this NDC dubious plot. And I read from here, but it's actually a direct quote from the document. The 2020 election resulted in an unprecedented situation in Ghanaian politics, with an evenly split parliament, with the NDC and NPP holding equal seats. The equilibrium creates a powerful opportunity for the NDC to, one, influence, to delay or outright block government's legislative agenda. I want you to focus on those things. One, influence, delay or outright block government's legislative agenda. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the media, this strategy the NDC has operated with since 2021 is on full display with what is happening in Parliament. So you have a situation where the NDC, for some odd reason, decides that it wants to be majority. And so therefore, in partnership with Speaker, Mr. Speaker is actively aiding that seeming coup d'etat by the NDC in Parliament. But the point that ought to be made is that this is not an isolated incident. This is part of a coordinated effort by their own design outlined in this book to ensure that they use every means available to them, fair or foul, to affect, to disrupt, and obstruct government business.
My colleague James Aveji has just returned from that press conference, joins me in the studios. James, I'm curious, did we get to see a copy of this supposed document that Richard Ahiagba refers to?
That MFA, he did not provide this particular document he talks about, but promises that they will make that available subsequently. But he identifies this document as winning the 2024 elections and beyond, a comprehensive NDC document. That's the identity he gives to it.
And he cites two key events as captured in this document. Tell us more.
Yes, first is the fact that the happenings in Parliament by the opposition NDC. They said, according to him, this document has been in circulation since 2021, mm-hmm. and it is part of the ploy for which the NDC decided to oppose the e-levy when government attempted to introduce same. We can also listen to him talk about the fact that what is currently happening in Parliament is another plot from that document to actually get government frustrated from doing its business in Parliament.
Chapter 2 of the secret document provides strategies on how the NDC minority should leverage parliamentary power to disrupt government business. Pages 7 and 8, under the subheading Maximizing Parliamentary Control of the Legislature, provides the context for this NDC dubious plot. And I read from here, but it's actually a direct quote from the document. The 2020 election resulted in an unprecedented situation in Ghanaian politics, with an evenly split parliament, with the NDC and MPP holding equal seats. The equilibrium creates a powerful opportunity for the NDC to, one, influence, to delay or outright block government's legislative agenda. I want you to focus on those things. One, influence, delay, or outright block government's legislative agenda. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the media, this strategy the NDC has operated with since 2021 is on full display with what is happening in Parliament. So you have a situation where the NDC, for some odd reason, decides that it wants to be majority. And so
well, that's Richard Anyangba, the communications director of the NDC, speaking at that press conference. Well, thankfully, he has joined us on the line. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Winning the 2024 election and beyond, a comprehensive NDC document. That's the title you say it is. Where can I find this document?
I have a copy I can share with you. Good evening, and others also have a copy.
Basically,
Mr. Gbande, I'm told it's also Mr. Gbande on the phone, but no, let me start with you, Richard Anyangba. First, Mr. Gbande, I'll come to you shortly.
Okay, well, Amava, good evening, and good evening to my good brother, Mustafa, on the line. Yes, you can have a copy of the document. I have it, and I'm sure others have it too. If you ask them, they'll be able to give you.
Who is the author of this document?
Who also has it?
Who is the author of this document? Who put together this document?
It doesn't have an author to it, but it has an agenda that has been implemented by the NDC. So you can say that the NDC is the author of the document. But you don't expect a document like this to have a name to it.
Mm. Do you know when it was put together?
It says confidential document 2021. So I assume it was put together around that time.
And you say there are two key events, including what happened to this week in Parliament, cited in that particular document. 2021, is there any other key event that has been cited in this particular document, apart from what we are seeing this week?
Well, you know, what we are seeing this week is part of an elaborate plot, and what has happened all along in Parliament is essentially the way the NDC has done business up until from 2021 up until now. So, literally, everything in the document captured in these two chapters that I was talking about is actually evidence of what the NDC has been doing in Parliament since 2021. So essentially, if you mention an issue to do with the economy, to do with governance, it finds expression in the directives that are outlined in this document, simply for the NDC to make it difficult for the government to govern and to do so effectively.
So what you're telling me is that the largest opposition party in this country, the NDC, put together a script and they are acting it out and we're watching it unfold. That's what you're saying?
Certainly. I mean, if you look at this document, and in fact, the truth of the matter is that you set a document issue aside for a minute. We have been complaining about how disruptive the NDC has been since this parliament. The grandstanding, the obstruction that came to a head, particularly in 2022, when for the first time, Parliament did not comply with the PFMA Act because they failed to pass the budget in its entirety by 31st December. Now, why did that happen? If at the time you think about it, you just think that, oh, maybe the NDC is actually being supportive or trying to express the anger or the feeling of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put this document to that behavior, you come to understand that it was not in a vacuum. The NDC action and the opposition of that document was not in a vacuum.
Well, let's come down to what we are seeing, events leading to this controversy in Parliament. You say that is also contained in the document. So let's zeroing in on that. The NDC predicted that three of your members will, at least let's limit it to just the two, Suhum and then Aguna West, that two of them will actually go independent, for which reason their seats will be declared vacant for all that we're seeing now to happen. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is that it's an opportunity that presented itself.
And that's what's also in the document, that opportunity will present itself?
No, it's not in the document, but here's what is in the document. The attempt to disrupt government business is classically captured in the document. So the NDC leveraged the opportunity, okay, and went to town to be able to disrupt government business. Now, let me ask you this question. What is the hurry? If indeed those people are going to contest independent, and therefore that has created a vacancy which the Speaker has declared, and therefore those people have forfeited their seats in Parliament, thereby the NDC having more MPs than the NDC. What is the hurry? Why wouldn't the NDC just allow for the processes to unfold? There's a process in court against that. Why are they occupying a position that has not been conferred on them? They're claiming that position.
Okay.
And the idea is that, consistent with the operation to say that let's disrupt government business, here is an opportunity. Let's leverage it to disrupt the business of government.
Okay.
That's really what is happening.
Okay. Let me bring in the Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Mustapha Gbande. Thank you so much for your time once again. And thank you for sticking with us. So everything we are seeing, it appears that you've just put all this together since 2021 and you're acting it out.
Well, good evening and good evening to my brother. Why won't the MPP bring this out? Because, you see, there's a backlash.
But is there a document to start with?
No. I'll come there. There's a national resentment against the MPP and the government. There's a shame that have befallen the judiciary, that we have judges who are insensitive to law, who are politically incentivized. And so, given the nature of this backlash, the arrogant posturing of the minority leader today, Afenyoma Akin, which is also a backlash in the face of the MPP, they will concoct documents, they will try to swing the media discourse, they will try to cover up, they will try to, if possible, repaint the whole picture. But let me tell you, MFA. I'm speaking on behalf of the General Secretary of the party. The NDC have not uttered any document. In fact, our strategy into 2024 is not a printable document. That is what the MPP is looking for and they cannot find. They will only open our minds to get what we think. But the battle lines are very drawn. The battle lines are that the NDC is first and foremost committed to winning an election towards the interest of the people of Ghana.
But Mr. Gbande, there's no plan that you will not find at least typed or printed. You are saying that the NDC's plan is all in your heads.
Yes. The MPP is paying people to try and find out what our strategy is. And I'm going to tell Ahiagba and Akufo-Addo for free that our strategy is that we are vigilant. Apart from the fact that we are committed to winning the election and we are ready for it, we also have elements of revenge of what they have done to us in the last election.
Mm.
And so we have been calling on the records. Ever, you are aware.
But Mr. Gwande, let me take you back a little, at least, just on the document note. I'm wondering, maybe some will say maybe a silly question, but really, if there was such a document, will you admit to it on radio, publicly?
Of course. I'm not so, Ever, you have dealt with me. I'm not somebody who hides my intentions. I'm a defense student.
Mm.
If I need to deal with you, I'll let you know that I'm coming after you. And we have told the MPP that the battle lines of 2024 is that we are vigilant and that we want to win election transparently. That is why we have been involved in the conversation of Electoral Commission organizing a free and fair election. That is why we have always insisted.
But is it a part of your plan also to disrupt every government business as part of the plan to win the 2024 election?
Is there a government? What is in place is a criminal syndicate.
Oh, dear. Mr. Gwande, really, criminal syndicate, really, please, let's be a bit decorum in this particular discussion so that we can have a good discussion this evening, sir. So,
Arafa, I can withdraw the words, but let me tell you. There is a government that have deceived the people. There is a government that we are holding evidence that the president have superintended the highest level of corruption syndicates in the last 7.5 years. Okay? This is a government, for the first time, they are in power. Their members of parliament are switching to independence. It should tell you the caliber of government you have. Why would the NDC be afraid of this kind of government? Why would Ghanaians vote for this kind of government?
Okay.
A government where a vice president lies his way every day. Why will you trust that kind of government?
Okay, Mr. Gwande, let me bring in Richard Ahiagba. Finally, I'm really out of time on this particular issue. But Ms. Ahiagba, my colleagues tell me that you have promised that this is a document that you make available to us. And you've heard the NDC. There's no such document. They're only executing what they have to do because of the gains that you've not made, that they're expecting to have been made by this particular government.
Well, you know, my good brother Mustafa is very savvy. He will not come on your program, whether he's swearing fire or brimstone. He can't say it. Even if you put a gun to his head, Mustafa will not tell you this document is by the NDC. So that one is something that you should know, MFA. Mm-hmm. But interesting in this document, he mentioned about Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia being a liar. This document has a full chapter on Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, why he should try and make him unpopular, that he is not attacked enough. And so there's a full plot in this document to target the credibility of Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. That's chapter 8. MFA, I'll send you the document so you can read it.
I'll be waiting.
In addition to that, there is also a design plot to commission, okay, NDC people to attack, to formulate issues and scandals and tag the government with it. And by this, you know who I'm going to talk about. The NDC is egging on my good brother Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa in this document to go on a rampage, to go on a certain wild goose chase to try and brand this government as corrupt. So all the things that he's been engaged in is part of the design in this government.
Okay, but this document that you're making reference to and putting out a lot more, I cannot authenticate because I have not seen that document. The NDC, whom you say authored it, are also saying that they did not author it, just like we've seen in past documents, and it's been said that it is doctored amongst others. I would not want us to go into the details of this particular document until we can actually authenticate it. So I'll leave it here, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time here on Newsnight. You heard Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Mustafa Gwande, and also Richard Ahiagba is the Communications Director of the NPP. I'll take business now with James Ishen. When we return, Reporters Without Borders are weighing in on attack on multimedia's Erastus Asare Dronko and his team for filming the destruction of large tracts of the Asinenyo Forest Reserve by illegal miners. We have details of that, plus our climate focus. Do stay. Mr. Shen, what do we have?
Interesting times ahead. Now, coming up in business this evening, Springfield starts appraisal drilling of Afina were expected to add 50,000 barrels of oil a day to Ghana's production capacity. And Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam highlight intra-Africa trade as key to Ghana's economic recovery. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Chaco and Herbal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. I am James Ishen. We settle for the details now. First off, Indigenous Upstream Petroleum Company Springfield Group has announced that it is going ahead to commence its appraisal drilling on its Afina field despite the concerns surrounding the unitization of the Afina and Sankofa field. The chief executive of the group, Kelvin Autry, disclosed this at a press conference. He announced that the Afina field is expected to contribute about 50,000 barrels of oil a day to Ghana's total production.
GNPC worked very hard and we secured a rig from Northern Ocean. The rig is called Deep Blue Sea Buster. It's a semi-sub rig, and I would like to basically announce to everyone here that the rig is finally in country and we have commenced the appraisal program.
Kelvin Autry is the CEO of Springfield Group. Now, Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam has stated that Ghana's economic recovery hinges more on trading with other countries within Africa. He has therefore advised that more must be done to ensure that the needed structures are built to support payment with other African countries. Dr. Adam was speaking at the African Caucus Forum at the IMF World Bank meetings in Washington, D.C., USA.
Recognize intra-African trade as a catalyst for economic growth, job creation, and poverty reduction, and are committed to surmounting all impediments to intra-African trade with the invaluable support of the World Bank and the IMF. We've identified an effective and unified intra-continental payment system as one of the imperatives for intra-African trade. Recognize that financial inclusion and harmonized trade rules are necessary to ensure an inclusive African continental free trade area implementation, leaving no country or individual behind.
Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam speaking at the Africa Caucus meeting with World Bank President Ajay Banga. Still on the IMF World Bank meetings, the International Monetary Fund is making a strong case for aggressive tax reforms to deal with the revenue mobilization challenges facing the country. Speaking at the launch of the 2024 Fiscal Monetary Report in Washington, D.C., Assistant Director at the IMF, Era Dabla Nori, said focusing on the structural reforms can deal with the issue.
In terms of priorities, we believe that the authorities need to continue to restore debt sustainability. And in this regard, there's two important aspects. The first is to complete the restructuring of external commercial debt in line with program commitments. And the second is to really redouble efforts on domestic revenue mobilization. And what's important here is that the strategy is not only about aiming to raise revenues, mobilize revenues, but to fundamentally change the tax system. The strategy aims to reduce tax evasion, tax avoidance, to improve tax compliance, and more broadly enhance the fairness and equity of the tax system. And the IMF has long advocated countries that it's not about raising rates, it's about broadening the base and making tax systems as fair and equitable as possible.
An assistant director at the IMF, Era Dabla Nori, speaking at the launch of the Fiscal Monitor Report in Washington, D.C., on the sidelines of the annual IMF World Bank meetings. Now, on to some other stories. Economist Dr. Priscilla Chumezi-Bafo is calling on businesses to avoid politically exposed supply chain deals. According to her, such business operations are likely to be affected negatively after elections due to favors from parties in government. Dr. Bafo was speaking to Joy Business after a panel discussion on the 2024 KPMG Africa CEO's Outlook in Accra.
I believe they need to not to be too involved in politically sensitive activities, politically sensitive value chains, because if indeed you are and there happens to be a change which doesn't favor the business, then it means that the business doesn't thrive. And so essentially we are looking for businesses that are resilient regardless of which government is in power. And I think that is the discussion that we need to focus on going forward. And essentially what is required is a solid macroeconomic fundamentals, as we've indicated.
Meanwhile, senior country partner at KPMG, Anthony Sapone, urged the business community to adopt sustainable initiatives as many global supply chains continue to divert attention towards environmental governance.
So we're looking forward to the next 3 years being a global world where, with all the challenges of supply chain, with all the challenges of conflict, with all the challenges of economic downturn, looking forward to a situation where globally in Africa, businesses will focus on sustainability, businesses will focus on growth, and businesses will focus on developing the skills of people. And to sum it all up, this all ends up in ESG.
And that senior country partner at KPMG Ghana, Anthony Sapone, earlier was Dr. Priscilla Chumisi Balfour, an economist. And that's all for Business on Newsnight with me, James Echen. Over to you, MFA.
Thank you very much, James, for the latest from the world of business. Let's hit sports, and we're getting ready for Saturday. The Joy Sports Invitational.
Our super swimming.
People, who gave you the swimming?
Oh, yesterday we settled on it. Though. Oh, we analyzed your potential.
Why
we realized
giving
that?
Out our trade secrets.
Oh,
I'm doing 100 meters. You say swimming.
You're doing 100 meters.
Yes,
100 meters.
100 meters.
Representing
dash.
Multimedia.
I'm telling you,
is it with a bicycle or with the legs?
With the legs, your face.
Oh, my goodness. I'm good.
Which sports are you engaging in?
I've got about three of them.
I had some CEOs.
Premier Health Insurance CEO.
Things and challenging
calling
Ken.
Out Ken for the CEO's penalty
Ken
shootout.
Is camping.
I'm telling you.
At an undisclosed site.
They have no idea.
You have no idea.
No idea at all.
We are coming like a guy.
And already there's one company we visited today, Minerals Commission, who have called out Joy FM.
Oh, they don't know. They have no idea.
They say they are ready for you. Taken notice of all that you've been doing.
Oh.
And they are ready to face you come Saturday at the University of Ghana Stadium.
We are giving
I'm telling you, this is the Joy Sports Invitational. We're just about 2 days away to the big event on Saturday. Minerals Commission, they say they are ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our video analysts have monitored whatever Joy FM and multimedia are doing. And we have antidote for you. Look, the fact that we have come late, we just arrived. You know the Spanish Barcelona team? We were with them, the ex-Barcelona players. Yeah. We have an event on next month. Yeah. We were training with them. Yeah. So we just arrived. Yeah. And we want to demonstrate to Ghana that we are not just posting.
This is why it's serious.
Oh, yeah, Minerals Commission. So along with the Galamsey fight, they have time for George Sports Invitation.
But you see, very that day, we need to check ID cards.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want any.
Oh, yeah. We understand some people have begun exploring Ghana's Division 2. And looking for
Cristiano
support.
Cristiano Ronaldo has sent a message to the Joy team, the football team. So you let me not say much.
Oh, dear.
Let me not say much.
Roro himself.
Yes. The arm wrestling, Winston is leading that team.
Winston is leading the arm wrestling team.
Oh, my you.
My goodness.
This team that we have here is a host and win. Oh.
Host and win.
Oh, Masa.
Host and win.
Host and win. We have Banku Eaters competition also. Like, Agbagba is the whole of Africa.
Oh, my goodness.
When you are looking for someone who can eat Banku, Kenke, Maxwell Agbagba is there for you. 100 meters dash.
Joy Sports Invitational.
We've all actually beaten Usain Bolt. Me. Bolt, and I beat him. And you are there talking about
you
what?
Beat Usain Bolt.
I beat Usain Bolt. Ask him. We just didn't do it publicly.
Oh, yeah.
So as for the team, we are ready.
Oh, yeah, we are ready. We are
you
super
want to
ready.
Beat a man
super
in
ready.
His own house. How
it can
you
happen.
Do that?
It can happen. So, I mean, University of Ghana Stadium, Saturday, Labadi Beach
what
Hotel,
time
we've heard
are
you.
We governing?
9 a.m., that's when the entire team will converge. Football, CEO penalty shootout, you know, table tennis, swimming, basketball, the tag of peace, the 100 meters,
you
50
see
meters
a man being
dash.
Come today?
Yeah.
You know what he's doing?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Where?
This morning I was with him at the AstroTurf, you know, putting finishing touches to his, you know, striking potentials.
These are our top
standing
top
nine. Standing nine. He's not doing track back. No standing.
Bye-bye. We'll see you.
Well, if I just to mention that the Ghana under 20 team have advanced the semifinals of the WAFU B tournament. They're now just one win away from qualifying for the under 20 AFCON. So we're keeping tabs on them. Big congratulations to them. They should win the semifinals and they'll return to the AFCON.
Okay. Let's do a climate focus. And tonight, the streets of Boko are witnessing a transportation shift like never before. Following a ban on motorbike riding due to security concerns, electric bikes have emerged as the new preferred mode of transportation, eco-friendly and efficient. These e-bikes are transforming daily commutes while significantly reducing carbon emissions. Mahmoud Mohammed Nuruddin has today's edition of Climate Focus.
With a motorbike ban, residents had to find alternative transportation. Electric bikes have become a game changer.
I started using this electric motor 3 months ago.
Meet Idrisu Zulfao, a teacher who has embraced the electric bike phenomenon.
Okay, because with the electric one, you don't need to use money to buy fuel and all sort of things.
E-bikes produce no noise, no carbon dioxide, and no harmful emissions. It is a win-win for residents' health and the environment.
Since it doesn't produce sound and carbon dioxide, I think it's very good for everyone, especially our health. It's very, very good. It helps you to protect the environment in the sense that it doesn't produce carbon dioxide. So because it doesn't produce carbon dioxide, it protects the environment from pollution, from noise pollution, and then from also protecting the ozone layer.
Although the e-bike offers numerous advantages, its higher cost is a significant barrier for many individuals.
I would like to own one, but looking at my state right now, the price is very costly. It's costly for me.
Some of the parts cost is 300 without the workmanship. Some cost is 200, some even cost 500. But for me, I've not experienced any fault with it.
E-bikes provide freedom and mobility for people of all ages and abilities. Residents here want the government to offer incentives and investment in e-bike infrastructure to encourage their adoption. A report by Mohammed Nuruddin.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging gaps for positive youth development, and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
Well, and tonight, advocacy NGO Reporters Without Borders has become the latest to condemn the violent attack on my colleague Erastus Asare Donkor and his team while they were filming the destruction caused to large tracts of the Asinanyo Forest Reserve by illegal miners. Well, we've been hearing from the media coalition against illegal mining, charging the IGP to act swiftly on the matter. We know that there have been 3 arrests, and to the latest, we're hearing from Reporters Without Borders on this matter. They first narrated the incident on their website and condemned the violent attack on the crew, signed by his director of RSFS Sub-Saharan Africa Bureau, Sadibu Marong. The group further noted that any social issue, including the environment, must be able to be addressed without fear of reprisals. They then called on authorities to bring the perpetrators of these attacks to justice, emphasizing they must not go unpunished. Well, we can hear Erastus Asare Donkor's report detailing how several citronella trees grown have been pulled down despite ongoing calls for a cessation of mining in forest reserves. Note that though Erastus and his team were attacked whilst filming evidence of these environmental infractions, they managed to get footage to file this report.
The Asinanyo Forest Reserve is a production forest established in 1940. It covers an area of 22,800 hectares in the Amansea South district of the Ashanti region. About 9,350 football fields of the forest, that is 37.78 kilometers square, has been given out for mining to Edel Metallum Resources Limited. We set out to investigate the environmental infractions engaged in by the company's mining operations at Esumenya. Though the company has been mining for months, our checks indicate they only obtained a license from the Environmental Protection Agency on October 16, 2024. Contrary to its large-scale mining license regulation, the company has been engaged in unconventional artisanal mining methods similar to that adopted by illegal miners. There are no settling ponds or tailings dams as required by law. Contaminated mining residue is left to flow into tributaries of the Ankobra River and the forest environment, contrary to water use regulations. The Asananyo River, from which the reserve derives its name, is not visible from the mining mess created here. Our team saw indications of the abstraction of clean groundwater into already polluted surface water without the water use permit by the Water Resources Commission. The devastation runs miles into the Asananyo Forest Reserve. Trees restored under the Ghana Landscape Restoration Project have been pulled down for mining operations. Request for comment from some known leaders of the company have not yielded any response. The quest of the team to report on the activities of the mine was resisted by a group of armed men claiming to be protecting the concession of Edel Metallum Resources Limited, who physically assaulted the Joy News crew. Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asaredonko, Esumenya, Amasya South District, Ashanti Region.
And we head out with the National Signs and Mask Quiz and the 1-8 stage underway. And the head of all hosts, it does appear you are not the head at this point. Keta SHTS is leading 35 points. You are with 24 points, and in price USHS, 9 points. We are waiting for the gay girls tomorrow.
The shade from Motown, though. I feel like you've been dreaming of it for a while.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Anyway, all the best to the gay girls tomorrow.
It's not over until it's over, they say. So we'll
how's your school doing?
Which one?
How many schools do you have? Oh, wow.
But okay. I'm for strong and sassy.
And we're still doing our survivor stories. Mm-hmm. So tonight we're going to hear the story of another survivor and her family. So breast cancer. You know it's breast cancer awareness
yes,
month.
Yes, yes. So, have you yeah. checked?
We're doing that. I've been squeezing my boobs, you know, squeezing. Yes, okay. Squeezing. But I think I'll do one on Sunday because we're doing it at church as well. So.
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah, we did one today at the multimedia group. So
oh, that's amazing. Yes. And everything is good?
Everything is fine.
We thank
just
God.
Just needs more. Okay, so let's go. And that's it for News 90.
Thank you,
Enimwa Enimajo is up next with Strong and Sassy. Please do stay.